But yeah, if you're just joining us, we're in week two of this series, For Better or For Worse. And as I was asked to speak on week two, I was kind of reminded of this couple. There's a story told of this couple for anonymity's sake. We'll call them Romeo and Juliet. How about that? And so Aunt Romeo and Juliet, they're engaged to be wed. And so they're going through the right steps and they're doing, you know, premarital counseling and stuff. And so the pastor that they're counseling with is having these one-on-ones with them. So he's hanging out with Romeo one day and he's like, "Hey, Romeo, how are you feeling about marriage? You know, what are you thinking?" And Romeo's like, "Yeah, pretty good, pastor. Plans are coming together. You know, I don't think Juliet's going to be a bridezilla or anything, so it's going to be awesome." And, you know, and he's like, there's one thing, though, that I'm a little nervous about, if I can be honest with you, pastor." Pastor's like, "What's that?" He says, "Well, I have really, really stinky feet. And, like, I know it might not seem like a big deal, but they get really rank. And, like if Juliet finds out about this, like, she's going to be, like, not really attracted to me. And, like, it's just going to be really awkward." And Pastor's like, "Romeo, that's not a big deal, man. All you got to do is just make sure you clean your feet regularly, like twice a day. Twice a day, make sure your feet are clean. Make sure you're always wearing clean socks. And, like, even wear socks to bed. Then she'll never know. That'd be awesome." Romeo's like, "Sounds good. Okay, well, let's do that." A couple weeks later, the pastor's meeting with Juliet, and he's like, "Hey, Juliet, how are you feeling about everything?" And she's like, "Pastor, I'm feeling great. Romeo's been so helpful in wedding planning. He's just amazing. We're going to have such a happy life together. But there's one problem, Pastor. I have really bad breath in the morning." And pastor's like, "Well, Juliet, like, that's reasonable. We all get bad breath in the morning." She's like, no. "You don't understand. I get, like, bad breath in the morning. Like, yeah, really bad." And the pastor's like, "Well, okay, so try this. When you know when Romeo's going to wake up like 5 minutes before that, quickly slip out of bed, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, gargle some mouthwash, and then slip back into bed. He'll never know." She's like, "Oh, yeah, that could work." So the wedding day comes, Romeo and Juliet get married, and, you know, they're off to a great start and everything. But there's this one night, Romeo wakes up early in the morning, and he's missing a sock. And he's like, "Oh no, Juliet's going to find out." And so he's rifling through the bed, trying to, like, look around in the dark, not wanting to wake her up, trying to find his missing sock so he can put it back on. And in his moving around, Juliet stirs from her slumber. And without even thinking, she just blurts out, "Romeo, what are you doing?" And upon receiving this wind, Romeo's like, "Oh no, you ate my sock!" Thank you. I've been waiting for years to use that one, so I'm glad it worked. But when you think of For Better or For Worse, that's kind of one of the things we think about. We think of, like, the little things like that. And that's really what this series is about, is kind of marriage. And we recognize it, that marriage is not easy. And before I get too into it, let me also just say, in saying that this is a marriage series, I know some of you have probably already checked out. And here's why, because some of you are probably young and single in the room. Maybe some of you have been married and now you're separated. And unfortunately, we also know that there may be some people who have been married and lost a spouse in the room. And so I don't want you to check out if that's you in the room, because here's the beautiful thing about marriage. Marriage is the closest earthly relationship we can experience that reflects our relationship to God. In fact, the Bible even mentions the church, like the global church, you and I, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, as the bride of Christ, literally. And so there's comparisons that can be drawn as we talk about these different elements of marriage that we can all apply and be grateful for in our relationship to God as well. So everybody in the room, stay with me, please. So if you were with us last week, Pastor Evan cracked it all open and he was talking about commitment. Now, I'm a millennial. And us millennials and the Generation Z coming up behind us, and even some of the Gen Xers, we really struggle with commitment. and even some of the baby boomers and previous generations, commitment just is one of those tough things. Because in marriage, it's really easy at the beginning when you're like Romeo and Juliet and you're just like getting ready for the wedding. It can just seem so awesome. And sometimes we get these rose-colored glasses. But there's something that happens after the honeymoon phase kind of runs out in our marriage. As a side note, I feel like Bernine and I kind of got robbed because I don't feel like we ever experienced this so-called honeymoon phase. Anyone else in the room? Yeah? No, you guys all had it good. Okay, awesome. Great. Well, yeah, for us, man, that never really happened. It's like from day one, man, there were some serious things that came up. The for better or for worse really hit us like a brick wall. And what do you do when that happens? Because we live in, just for the record, it did get better. So I'd be like, man, who is this guy preaching to us about marriage? No. So here's the thing. I think I lost myself there, but it's all good. When those feelings go away, we live in a culture that is like a feel-good kind of culture, right? Where if it doesn't make you feel good, don't do it. And if it makes you feel good, do it, right? And so when those feelings run out, when the high emotions and the butterflies all settle down, there's this thing in us that's just like, well, it doesn't feel good anymore, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get out. And unfortunately, we live in a society that's made it incredibly easy to get out, which really makes it that much more difficult. But I'm not going to get too much into that one because that was last week. So if you want to check it out, you go online, you check that out. This week, we want to talk about a little something called sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Yeah, so I want to refer back to the passage that Evan shared with us last week. It's kind of like the foundational core of this whole series. And it's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We're going to have it on the screens for you. It says this, don't be selfish. Don't be so selfish. Hey, Rob, where's Rob at? Oh. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, what we just said there sounds a lot like sacrifice to me. And if you've been married for any length of time, or maybe you've even been in a serious committed relationship with someone for a long time, you know that it takes sacrifice, right? It could be like the small things, right? It could be like fighting over the TV remote, and you're like, hey, you know what? Tonight, babe, I'm going to make sacrifice. You get the remote, right? Or maybe it's like you're picking which show to watch, and it's like, hey, you know, or you're going to the theater, what movie are we going to watch? It's a classic struggle. You know, I want to watch the action flick, but Bernine wants to watch the cheesy romantic comedy that you know how it's going to end every time. You're like, babe, I'm going to make the sacrifice tonight. You got it, right? Like those little sacrifices, right? But then there's bigger things that call for sacrifice. Like maybe you're picking out a new car, you know, and the guy wants the sports car, something with a little, you know, something under the hood when you put the gas pedal on the floor. But then the wife maybe wants the soccer mom minivan, and you're just like, no, right? And we got to make sacrifices. But that's the beautiful thing, like I said, about marriage, in that it reflects the relationship of humanity to God. Sacrifice is like the biggest thing that God has done for us. And I think you guys know what that sacrifice is. In case you don't, we're going to talk about it in a sec here. But when I even say that word sacrifice, chances are, for most of us, we think back to the Bible. We think back to the Old Testament, the OGOT, right? And it's like we think back to things like, stories like Abraham and Isaac. When God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, and it doesn't make sense, but, you know, spoiler alert, he doesn't end up having to. God provides a different sacrifice. And when we get into the story of Israel, you know, and there's this actual sacrificial system that God sets in place for them. Because here's the thing, they as a people were called to relationship with God. But they kept messing it up. They kept sinning. And in Romans talks about how the wages of sin is death. When you sin, you earn the penalty of death. Congratulations. But God put this sacrificial system in place so that when there were mistakes made, when sin crept up on people and got into their lives, there was a way of paying that death penalty without them actually having to give their lives. And so there would be like a lamb or a goat or there, a variety of animals depending on the sacrifice, right? So you have this sacrificial system that's in place. And the purpose of it, ultimately, is to restore the relationship between God and his people. Tracking with me so far? Fast forward to Jesus. Okay, now Jesus comes on the scene because here's the thing. As the story goes, as history goes, we look at the story of Israel and we just like to laugh at them because Israel can never seem to get it right. Israel is just like how many times have you read the Old Testament? You're like, you guys are such idiots. But the truth is, you and I are not too different. All of us, we all like sheep have gone astray, as the Bible says. And so Jesus Christ had to come. God, just like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he had to give his son. He gave his son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sacrifices Jesus as this once and for all sacrifice for us. And we read about it in Scripture. We actually read about this just after the verses we just read. So I'm going to take you back to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says this, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up. Everybody remember those two words, gave up his divine privileges. Privileges, that's another one to remember. He gave up his privileges. Took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Now, if we go elsewhere to 1 Peter chapter 3:18, it says this as well. It says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. I love that first sentence. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. Because here's the thing. This Old Testament sacrificial system was still not perfect. It inevitably failed because we inevitably fail. So there kept having to be sacrifice after sacrifice. But Jesus, who, side note, the Bible refers to as the Lamb of God, kind of convenient wording. Jesus comes along as this perfect sacrifice. He who knew no sin, he never sinned, so that his sacrifice could be the perfect sacrifice once and for all. So that the relationship once again between God and his people could be restored. That's our example when we think about sacrifice in marriage. That's what our example of sacrifice is ultimately. That's big time. And here's the weird thing about sacrifice. It's a paradox, really, when you think about it. Because sacrifice demands something to die, yet something is given life. In sacrifice, something has to die so that something else or someone else can have life. It's this paradox that we see. Because Jesus died, we get to experience life in him. Wow, powerful stuff, right? Some of you guys are like, oh yeah, sounds good, awesome. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. But now we have to model that in our relationships. Jesus gives us this model to follow, that we, maybe there's something in us that has to die so that there can be life in our spouse or in our marriage. And now some of you think that's a little extreme, Alan. Are you telling me that I have to die for my spouse? That's kind of a little counterproductive. Then we don't really have a marriage, do we? Right? That's not what I'm saying. However, I'm sure that if we did a survey in the room, if I was to survey the couples in the room and I said, hey, would you die for your spouse to live? Would you take a bullet for your spouse to live? I would hope that 100% of the couples in the room, you'd be like, absolutely, yes. So a lot of us don't actually have a problem with that. We think, yeah, that sounds good. Sacrifice. My mother-in-law actually said something to Bernine years ago, and Bernine kind of mentioned it this week as I was preparing. She said this. She says, a lot of us would have no problem dying for our spouse, but a lot of us have problems living for our spouse. Let me say that one more time. Let me rewind that. A lot of us would have no problem dying for our spouse, but a lot of us have problems living for our spouse. Because to die for your spouse, that's a one-time thing. It's like, oh, sweet, boom, it's over. But to actually live for your spouse requires a daily sacrifice, a daily dying of yourself, a daily putting to death of your selfishness, of your pride, all these other things, so that you can actually see life rise up in the life of your spouse. And that, my friends, is the tough part of marriage. Amen. It's tough. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Joseph Ware, who's been married for 60 years this June. Respect there. Yeah. But we think that the sacrifice for our spouse is about these 1, 2, 3, 4 maybe moments in our life of our spouse. And while those are big moments, I can even look back to, in Bernine and I's 7 years of marriage, there's been a couple big moments where major sacrifices, yes, those have had to be made. But there's still the daily putting to death of who we are that has to happen. And I believe that that is honestly the bigger struggle. I'll give you some examples. Think about, like, this happens a lot with us guys, you know. We in a traditional household, you got the guy that goes out, he's the breadwinner, he's putting food on the table and making the wages, right? And he's working hard all day, and he comes back home, and he just wants to sit on the couch, put his feet up, and watch some TV, and then go to bed, right? Well, what if, guys, don't hurt me here, but what if God is actually calling us men in the room to actually come home and put our rights, the rights that we feel we have to having that comfort at the end of the day, what if we put that to death and we actually sacrifice a little more for our spouses, for our kids, to say, you know what, honey, that was a delicious dinner that you made. Let me do the dishes for you. Come over and do the dishes. And hey, you know what? When I'm done this, how about I go put the kids to bed, tell them a nice story, and maybe sing to them a little, or whatever you do. And then, you know, when I'm done that, you put your feet up, and I'm going to give you a little foot rub, and it'll be awesome, with no strings attached. Right? Like, what about that? What about that? How's that for sacrifice? Right? You can let it sit for a bit. Yeah. What about putting to death your need to be right all the time? And there's a bigger issue there, if that's the problem, right? There's a serious pride issue that a lot of us struggle with in our marriage. And if you weren't paying attention, in this Philippians passage, just in those like 6 verses, Paul uses the word humble like 3 times. We as spouses need to be humble as Jesus was humble. Jesus was God. And he chose to lay aside that right and to humble himself as a human being, so that he could die for us. I think we should be able to humble ourselves a little bit in our marriages. And I'll be honest with you, this is a big one for me. You know, I call it my stubborn Dutch heritage or something, I don't know. But I definitely come by that honestly. And Pride's been a huge thing that I've had to put to death in our marriage. And it hasn't been a one-time thing, just so you know. It's a constant lesson that I'm having to learn. And a lot of you can probably relate with this one. It's laying down my right to be right, you know? It's laying aside my pride in being an independent person. You know, I've always been a pretty stubborn, independent person. My mom reminds me of that all the time. How I would, you know, get sent to my room and I'd walk right back out of my room, you know? And she'd have to, like, literally hold the door shut, you know? It would take me, like, 5 minutes to tie my shoelaces when I was a kid because I didn't want anyone to help me. I'm little Mr. Independent. And when we carry that into a marriage, into a relationship, that can actually really hurt the relationship. Because in my pride and my refusal to let go of my independence, I've actually denied Bernine the opportunity to care for me. And that sounds like, in a weird way, in our culture, that actually kind of sounds a little emasculating. And so some of us guys might be having a problem with that. But I'll be honest with you, in the last season of our lives or so, I've had to face some hard realities that I'm actually not the perfect, strong, stable guy that I thought that I was this whole 7 years of marriage. And I've actually had to just let go of that whole persona and say, you know what, Breen, I'm actually kind of messed up. But it's been cool that as I've let go of that, as I've put, yeah, it's been awesome. But as I let go of that pride, as I put that to death, it's crazy to see over here the life that has sprung up out of Bernine. That this strength in her that maybe I've ignored or didn't think was even there has risen up, and she's actually just become this strong woman. And so that part of me had to die for that to happen. Our pride needs to die for our marriage to experience the life that God wants in it. Maybe for you today, it might be addiction. Addiction needs to die. That's a simple one. Well, it's not a simple one to kill the addiction, but it's easy to identify, right? And we hit the usual things like pornography and how that will destroy a marriage. Yeah, absolutely. We hit drinking and alcohol abuse all the time because we see it in our society. We touch on drugs, all these things. And yes, those are all addictions. But what about some of the more subversive things that we don't identify? Like maybe being addicted to our work. There's probably a lot of us in here that are. And as a result, we've, you know, as we're addicted to that, we actually rob our family and our spouses of time that they could be spending with us because we're so addicted over here. You know, I hit it last service, but what about gaming? And some of you don't even know what gaming is. We're talking about video games, you know? And I know that sounds really weird, talking about, like, adults being addicted to video games, but it's actually a thing. It's 2019, people. And I've actually heard of marriages that have fallen apart because of addiction to video games. Like, come on, guys. Like, is your... I shouldn't have to say this, but is your wife not more fun to be around than your buddies online that you're gaming with? Come on. Like, let's be honest. So addictions. Addictions need to die. I don't mean to belittle you if you have a gaming addiction. We all have vices in life. But, like, come on, guys. Like, addiction. If you want there to be life in your marriage, something's got to die. It might be addiction. Maybe for you, it's a dream that has to die. Maybe you've been so blindly chasing this dream, whether it's career-oriented or just hobby-oriented or whatever. Maybe it's just that you got to have that perfect house or whatever it is. We get sometimes so blinded by our ambitions to chase after these dreams in life that we forget about the dream that is lying in bed right beside us in the morning, or the dreams that are down the hall sleeping in the crib. And sometimes God's going to call us to actually kill this dream so that we can actually see life rise up in our spouse. I can remember when Bernine and I were pretty seriously dating. And I play music and stuff, and at the time, I had really big aspirations to actually do music like full time as like a rock star. You know, I wanted to be like the guy. And I had like this little band that me and my brothers were in, and it was awesome. We were going to be like the next Hanson. I don't know what we were going to do, but like for those Gen Z millennials, you might not even know who Hanson is. But, you know, I had this dream. We were like, you know, everywhere we'd play, like we played some shows and whatever, and it was really fun. And I honestly wanted to chase down this dream. I was like, Bernine, like I've heard some good feedback on my writing, and I think I could actually do this. And but for Bernine, it's like, okay, Alan, well, like, can we talk about this? Because if you want to make it, like that means that you're going to be like touring a lot and going to be away a lot. How does that work into like us? Like, do I get to come along? Like, am I just going to be like your little groupie over here? Or am I going to be back home? Like, how does that work? How does that affect us? Have you thought about that? I was like, well, I mean, just let me chase my dream, you know? It came to a point where I had to be honest and say, this is not good for us that I chase this dream. And I had to let it die. And there's other times where maybe you have to let a dream go and you have to let a dream die. And there's other times where maybe you actually have to recognize that your spouse has a dream. And you need to make sacrifice over here so that you can let your spouse chase theirs. Maybe it's a little more realistic than becoming a rock star. You know, there was this another time where Bernine and I were dating. And we were like dating for a year plus. And I was like, ladies, I was ready to put a ring on it. I was like, pretty darn serious. But then this opportunity came up where Bernine had done a discipleship training school through an organization called YWAM. May have heard of it. Yeah. Young Women After Men, or Youth with a Mission is actually what it's called. Or Youth Without Any Money, whatever you want to call it. But Bernine got the opportunity. She got asked to go back and to staff, and they were going to give her this position where she was essentially going to be like a photojournalist, where she got to go. She was like hanging out in like rural Africa in Sudan, like hiking up to these like remote tribes. Like she's like probably the only blonde white girl they've ever seen. Like one kid saw her and like ran away screaming, and like she's getting these opportunities, and that is her dream. Like, she's dreamt about this for years. And I'm thinking, well, what about us? Like, I'm kind of ready. Like, I'm, but this is your dream. And I can remember, like, a definite moment where I actually resolved in my heart. I said, like, man, this is the ultimate test for me if I want to marry this girl. If I can get behind her dreams, to lay down any dreams that I have or any reservations I have, I can wait. You know, I can wait a little bit for this girl. She will be worth it, you know? And I can get behind her and she can go and chase this dream down. Sometimes sacrifice means letting them go, letting them chase the dream down and letting go of yours. For the young people in the room, where you're like, well, this has made no sense so far. Some of us are really terrible at waiting. And we make a lot of mistakes in our impatience, in not be willing to wait for that special someone. We give away way more than we should. We are very loose with our emotions or our physical selves, and we make some big mistakes. And a lot of times we just like don't take advantage of this time we have as being single to really like go hard after God. You know, when you marry someone, like you kind of got to like share pieces of your heart with your spouse. You got to share with God. It gets a lot more complicated. When you are single, Paul actually calls it a gift. That God can have all of you. And when you don't wait well, it's like you just wasting time. And so I want to invite you young people, or if you're a little older and you're still waiting for that special someone, put to death the impatience and wait well. Make the most of those opportunities. Save yourself for that person, because I guarantee you it will pay dividends and it will produce life on the other side of your obedience to God. Sacrifice isn't easy, folks. If you've ever had to make a big sacrifice like some of the things I've mentioned, then you know what I'm talking about. Beautiful thing is that we have, like I said earlier, the ultimate model in what sacrifice looks like. We have God who sacrificed his son, Jesus, for us. And we can draw strength from that. But we also get life from that. God gave us Jesus to die so that we might have life. And we might also have an example of what true sacrifice looks like. And in that, I want to invite the band up to come on and play. But taking a step aside from marriage for a moment, you might be here this morning and you've actually never really heard this message that I've shared about who Jesus was and is, and how there's this God that loves you, that gave the ultimate once and for all sacrifice for you to know him and to experience what real life looks like in him. I want to invite you, if you want to start taking a step towards that life this morning, we're not going to do like the every head bowed, eye closed thing and hands up in the air, but what I'm going to invite you to do is a simple step. And you've probably noticed in some of the chairs in front of you, there's these connect cards. And I want to invite you, there's a spot on there where you can just say, hey, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior today. I want to invite you to check that off and take that connect card out to the lobby. There's a visitor's booth, and drop it off there, because we want to connect with you and help you start walking that journey today. It could happen today. No time like the present. And for those of us in the room where maybe we're single and waiting, wherever you're at, where you're married and struggling, you're married and thriving, regardless of your situation today, we all have an opportunity to put this into practice, this sacrifice. If you're a husband or you're a wife this morning, it's real easy. I'm sure we can identify something right off the hop. Something in us that maybe we need to put to death that might bring a little more life to our spouse and to our marriage. So we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to our hearts for a moment. God, would you come and would you speak to our hearts? We thank you that you gave us the ultimate model of what sacrifice looks like. And God, as we may struggle to model that well in our own lives, in our marriages, in our singleness, in our waiting, wherever we're at, God, would you just highlight some things in our lives that maybe need to die this morning? Come and speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you that you give us the strength to do it. You give us the strength to let things go. And you give us the strength to not pick them up again as well. You're good, Jesus. You're good. Amen. And now I just want one more thing. If you made a decision, or if God's bringing something to the surface for you this morning, I'd like to encourage you to take some action on that. Because if you've been married any length of time, you've probably gone through this where you can let something go or you can let something die, and it's really easy to go back and pick it up. It's really easy for like a month later to have to go and relearn that same lesson. And so I want you to find someone. My hope is that most of us are plugged into a small group. And if you're not, I encourage you, get plugged into a small group. Because the purpose of that is to do life together, to encourage each other and inspire each other along the journey as we do it together. And so guys, if there's something that you need to share with another guy produces accountability. Do that this week at small group. Ladies, same thing. Share it with someone so that they can check back and you can share in the victory and in the life that comes from that. Sound good? Awesome. Awesome. God bless everybody as we continue in this journey. It's going to be awesome. I'm just going to invite Pastor Evan up. He's got a couple things to say real quick.
Hey, can we thank Pastor Allen for sharing with us today? Sure feels like it there's a little something extra that we can feel like we take home when someone will share a bit of their life and their story with us. And so appreciate that, Pastor Allen. Thanks for sharing that with us. I just wanted to sort of take you through what the next little bit looks like. If you're here and you're a member, we want you to stick around. In fact, there are very few things that we ask of our members through a year. The AGM is basically the one. We want you to come and be part of that with us. When the actual AGM will start is probably within about, we'd be shooting for about 45 minutes from now. But what's going to happen is if you are a member, there's a bit of lunch for you over there. The interns are going to be eating it before they head out. There's a bit of lunch for the members. And then what we're going to do is right when Pastor Dan and the team are ready to go, they're going to let us know. And we're going to go line the driveway as they drive out in their van. And we'll wave to them. We'll love them. It's like a fire tunnel for a van. It's going to be awesome. If you're charismatic, you know what I'm talking about. If not, Just you're just gonna love it. Anyways, so we're gonna send them and love them. We'll come back in here. You can finish off your sandwich or whatever you're doing, and then we're gonna make our way back into this room. If you're not a member, you're still welcome to be in here. Basically, we're ratifying new council members. We're setting our trajectory for where we're going. We share the budget for next year. We talk about where we've been at this last year, and we're almost always done within a half hour. It's just a chance for us to quickly catch everyone up, and it's a really nice time, actually. So members, quick snack as soon as we say, we'll go line the driveway, drop everything, then come back, finish your lunch, come back in here. We'll have a quick AGM. And for everyone who's not a member, thanks for being here. We sure love you. We're sure glad that you're joining us as we continue to see what God is doing through Northgate here in the Comox Valley. It's exciting to be a part of it. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power in fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. The sin of the world, His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion.
Have a great week, everybody. See you for the AGM.
Come to the life, come to the living water. Never runs dry. You can trust the Father.